Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Wow, lots of things are changing around here, aren't they? Who's excited about that? Come on, this is really been some good stuff happening here. It's been really, really good. I can tell you I'm happy to be home, even though Charlie's here. I'm happy to be here. He thinks today he is going to be the chili extraordinaire. We had a bit of a tussle last night over the phone a couple of times about whose chili will be better. I am going to go ahead and prophetically decree in this house that my chili will be the number one chili tonight.
Number one.
Okay? So, sorry, Brad. Sorry, Charlie. And whoever else is bringing chili. I just want you to know. I've decreed it now into the atmosphere, so let it be so. We'll see. We'll see, but I've prophetically decreed it now. It's probably going to happen for sure.
He used holy cow. I used as a deer pants after water.
Yeah. Well, Dan and Terry, they traveled almost a little bit further than I did, but you can't get much further than Alaska. It's a 10-hour plane ride. When I flew to South Korea last year, it's a 15-hour flight, and I did have an interpreter there. I had two, and it is different, but we had a lot of fun. Before going to Alaska, I got sick with the flu. It was wonderful. Yeah, because half our church is missing so this morning, but I was sick, and on the sixth day, I had to get in the car with Rodney and Charlie and head to the airport, and I was still not well. Shut up, Charlie. Can you just go to your office and just stop? I don't need his office. Just if he'll just go in there so I don't have to look at him. And so I was freezing. When I got in the car and Charlie's got his window down. I'm like, it's 32 degrees outside. What are you doing? You know, I have a cold. Okay, I've got the flu. I've got aches. You know, it was the worst flu I've ever had. So I get to the airport, get through security, and I had gotten a Gatorade before we left. And I got all the way down to the gate and realized that I needed to puke. And I had a planter with flowers in it and a store and the carpet. And then I finally saw a trash can because I couldn't get to the restroom in time. And I'm a loud puker. It's obnoxious how loud. It's blah! And so, you know, and I hurled in the trash can like three times. And I know people are like, oh, my God, is he getting on a plane? I hope it's not my plane. Jesus. Hallelujah. So at that moment, I was thinking to myself, I'm going to call Pastor Pisa in Alaska, and I'm going to just say, I love you, but I cannot do this. So there was a lot of warfare before the trip, okay? I got to Alaska. I was still sick. I actually sent Karen a text, which we can't talk about. Let's just say it was an SOS. Okay, I needed somebody to get the hotline to Jesus because I was not putting up with this crap anymore. Well, I was sick for about four more days. But they put me to work the very next day that I got off the plane, okay? And I'm like, well, this is great. And I was busy the entire week that I was there, which he has never done before. I usually preach a couple of meetings, but he had me every day something with somebody, with some group. And I was like, okay. So the first night that I'm there, I get up and I begin to share about Azusa Street, which I have here. And I said, you know, there's coming again a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I said, but it's going to be greater than Azusa Street. So I was sharing about that, and I said, the Lord told me, because I went to Kodiak, Alaska, that was the first stop, and the Lord had been telling me while I was there, he said, I'm going to shake things up in the natural. I'm going to shake Kodiak in the natural. And the Lord said, when I shake Kodiak in the natural, it's going to be a sign that what I'm about to do in the spirit in Kodiak. So, and I said, it will happen in the next 7 days. So that was Tuesday, the very day, next day after I got off the plane. And I don't know who's up there. Is there anybody up there that can put that picture up there? Thanks, Susie.
Drag on her one time, now she missed it.
It's all right. It's all right. There it is. So 7 days to the day, Kodiak had a massive earthquake. The pastor called me. Also, I had a lot of text messages. You know, it's 4 hours behind there. So when I woke up the next day, it's probably lunchtime or later here. And I'm like, I got all these texts like, Ron, are you okay? Are you all right? And I'm like, what are people? What's wrong? I'm fine. I'm getting better. And, you know, nobody used the word earthquake in their text messages. And I was like, I'm fine. And then I had people in Alaska going, Ron, did you wake up last night? I'm like, no. What are you talking about? And I'd already flown up to Kenai, the Kenai Peninsula at that point. And this happened the next day after I got to Kenai. But it shook all the way up to Anchorage, Alaska. And so all these people were like, Ron, you didn't feel that earthquake. A lot of the Alaskans were like, that was the longest lasting earthquake we've felt in a very long time. It shook, and it was right off the coast of Kodiak. So, of course, the pastor wanted to talk. Can we talk about that word you gave last Tuesday? Because it happened Tuesday morning. And I said, sure. And so he kept bringing it up because we were at this conference together. He kept asking me about it. So I knew the Lord was saying something. But what fascinated me is that it affected the Florida well water.
Come on.
Come on. As another confirmation, okay, live in Florida now. And so this was another confirmation to me. I'm still researching it. I was telling Charlie and me and Karen were talking. You know, we're at 777, right, Deltona Boulevard in the Fountains Plaza. You know, he broke the fountains of the deep in Noah's day. I'm telling you, something is going on.
Yeah, come on.
Okay? I mean, really? The well, of all the states in the Union, you think Washington, right? Oregon, California, maybe. The well water in Florida was affected by this earthquake.
Come on.
That's crazy. So God is up to something. And as I was getting ready this morning, the Lord said there's going to be a new sound. Now, I told some folks on the peninsula, I said, listen, if Mount Redoubt explodes, which is an active volcano in Alaska, I said, just know that he's removing the doubt from the peninsula. And they're like, Ron, just get out of here. It was like Jonah, okay? They were like, they wanted to throw me over the boat. Just get him out of here because he's causing too much trouble. Because when I flew into Kenai, they had had no snow, and it snowed and snowed and snowed. And they're like, Ron, really, it's time for you to leave. So anyway, I think it's interesting. Well, here's what the Lord said this morning. He said, there's a new sound coming in the earth, okay? New sound. And what it's going to be, it's going to be the Spirit and the Word coming together in this hour. But it says this in Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. I'm telling you that there is a groaning in the earth, and God is going to cause a groaning of intercession to begin to hit the body of Christ in this hour like we've never seen before. There's going to be a groaning for the presence of God. There's going to be a groaning of the fear of the Lord in the church again. There's going to be a groaning that begins to well up inside of you. Do you have your candy?
Yeah.
Just was wondering. This morning, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about something I think we've gotten really skewed in the church, but it's going to be important. The fear of the Lord is something that I think has got to return to the body of Christ. The awe of God. How great is He? We sang it today. How great is God? But do we really know? Do we really even understand that? But this morning I'm going to talk about walking in holiness and what holiness really, really is, because I think it's crucial for this moment and this hour. Is that all right, Charles? Okay. Leviticus 20:26 says, "You are to be holy because I, the Lord, am holy." So we, you know, it's a foundational truth. We want to look at holiness. God gave the Jewish people a great deal of revelation about holiness. It's foundational to their identity. Ignorance of the holy. This is where I struggled most of my Christian life. We don't have a clue what holiness is or what it looks like or how to walk in it. We sing about it, but very few have taken time to learn what it is. All over the years, Christians have developed a variety of strange ideas about holiness. One common idea was holiness meant being different from the world. That's one misconception. In the 40s and 50s, they wanted to be holy and try to look different. They walked around with a hair and clothing styles that were at least 10 years out of date. You remember that, don't you, Gary? In the 60s, Christians tried to sound different. A guitar was a worldly instrument. Being holy meant only having an organ or a piano. You remember?
Yep.
I remember. Some thought holiness was avoiding activities of the world. Christians made up lists of activities to avoid: smoking, drinking, cussing, running with those that do. Also, they avoided movies, roller skating, makeup, card playing, and other things. Anything fun you couldn't do because then you wouldn't be holy. Yeah, football games, Super Bowls. Eagles are going to win. Praise God. Today's Christians don't think being different makes you holy. The Christians of today think holiness means being good. That's what we think holiness is. They think if we live a life of righteous and moral character, then we're holy. That's wrong too. Living a good life, while important, is not what makes you holy. Stop and think of some of the things that God calls holy. God called the burning bush holy, right? He called Mount Sinai holy. However, Sinai didn't become holy by being more moral than the other mountains. Did it? Holiness is not a matter of being good or moral. It's in a different dimension entirely. What is holiness? John Dixon, a leader out at Glory of Zion Ministry, said this a few years ago. The opposite of holy is not sinful or evil. The opposite of holy is ordinary. The opposite of holy is ordinary. Most of us believe holy is a synonym for righteous. To live holy meant you lived a good moral life of avoiding as much sin as possible. Holiness does not mean free from sin. Holiness means set apart from the ordinary. Another way to say it is it is elevated from the norm. A good one-word definition for holiness is special. We see the first time in Scripture that God said something was holy. It was in Genesis 2. God blessed the 7 days and designated it holy. The first 6 days were good days. God said they were very good. They were not holy. They were just ordinary days. But the seventh day, He called holy, special. In Leviticus 10, God gave Aaron instructions for serving at the tabernacle and warned Aaron to be careful to distinguish between the holy and the common. God was saying, don't take what is special and treat it as ordinary. Think about it this way. If Aaron had brought his dirty laundry in and washed it in the laver and then hung it, right, on the Ark of the Tabernacle or the Ark of the Covenant, he would be profaning the holy things. He would be saying that there's nothing, these are just ordinary things. They weren't ordinary. They were special. It would have been dishonor. Being holy is being separated from the ordinary. If something is holy, it is designated for special purposes and deserving of special treatment. To treat something holy means to treat it with honor. You know, growing up in the South, we had two sets of dishes. Come on, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You had your ordinary dishes, and you had your china, your good china that your great-grandma gave to you. You've got gum. This is not a good sign. So, what happened when the good china came out?
Good food came out.
Mm-hmm. But you know, your ordinary dishes, they just got thrown in the dishwasher. They got carelessly taken care of. They got chipped. Sometimes they got broken. But Lord help you if you broke the good china. Lord help you if you set it on the floor and ate in front of the television. That was not how you treated the good china. China was beautiful and elegant. It was reserved for special occasions. When we used it, we always treated it with great care and always put it back in a special cabinet. Our everyday dishes were very nice, but they were ordinary. Our good china was special. If you let the dog eat off the floor on your good china, the woman of the house was going to have your head. Walking in holiness is not about being good or different. It's about showing honor. It's about treating what is special in a special way. The importance of holiness. In Deuteronomy 23:14, God gives this warning. The Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to protect and deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. Holiness is very important to God. If we fail to walk in holiness, he will cause his presence to withdraw. Holiness is the secret to walking in God's presence and power. God has designated certain things as holy. He wants us to treat these things as special. Here's some of the things that he has deemed holy. His word, apostles, marriage, your body, the tithe, prophets, his name, the Sabbath, other Christians, spiritual leaders, places of worship, and Israel. Just some of the things. Choosing to honor these things by treating them special will set us apart from being ordinary. Examples of some things that are in the Bible, I'm just going to give you some quick scriptures. Holy money, the tithe, Leviticus 27, 30 and 32, Malachi 3. Holy time, the Sabbath, Genesis 2, 3, Exodus 20, 8 and 11. Holy places, the burning bush, Mount Sinai, tabernacle and the temple. Holy people, apostles, brothers and sisters in the Lord, husband, wife, children, are all holy. The Bible gives us instruction on how to honor each one of these in an appropriate way. In learning about holiness, you can gain some insight by the story of Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah had shut up the heavens for 3.5 years, and the Lord sent him to Zaphath. You know that place, right? It's right down the street from Haifa. You know those words. I don't know why God put those in there for me. But he's sitting down the street to meet with the widow woman who had just enough food for her and her son, and then they were going to die. Now, what did he do? He showed up, and she had just enough oil and just enough flour, meal, whatever you want to call it, to make one, you know, a cake for her and her son. But Elijah came up and said, listen, you're going to make this for me first. Now, I don't know if a stranger walked up to your house, you're about to eat your last meal, period, and he says, you're going to make this meal for me first and serve me first, And then the Lord's going to take care of you. Now see, she had a decision to make. Was she going to honor the prophet of the Lord? Because when we honor the prophet, we receive the reward of a prophet. And because she made the right decision, the oil never ran out, neither did the flour, right? But she had to honor him. A picture of holiness is this. Think about the internet. And you're reading something, and all of a sudden you see that highlighted in blue. What is that thing when it's highlighted in blue? It's a hyperlink, right? So when you click on the hyperlink, it opens up all these other different dimensions of whatever the word is. So holy. If you saw that word on the internet, you recognize it as a hyperlink, blah, blah, blah. That is not what makes it special, though. What makes it special is it is linked to things you cannot see. You can click the mouse on other words in the paragraph, but nothing happens. But if you click on the hyperlink, whole new pages open to you. That is the picture of how holiness operates. You can choose to honor many things in life, sports team, rock group, author, movie star, hobby, computer. What God calls holy, when you honor most things, you receive no benefit. When you choose to honor what is holy, new realms of blessing open to you. Honoring the holy sets us apart from the world and lifts us up into a supernatural realm where we tap into the supernatural covenant blessings of God. Where does holiness come from? Stop to think about that for just a minute. Where does holiness come from? What made the burning bush holy? Bingo. The answer is the presence of God. Now think about this. When you trusted in Jesus, God's Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. God's presence is in you right now. His presence is in you. That means you're holy. Oh, almost fell. You're a saint, a holy one. You're holy right now, and you're holy no matter what you do. Remember, holiness is not sinlessness. Most Christians confuse holiness with righteousness. Righteousness is being clean. You have removed the defilement of your sin from your life. God wants us to walk in righteousness. Holiness is different in a different dimension. Holiness is being special because you have trusted in Jesus and you are holy even if you're sinning. Paul writes to the church in Corinthians about this fact. 1 Corinthians 1:2. See, the thing is if you eat on your good china, right, it gets dirty. The food makes it dirty. But does it make the good china any less special? No. It's just like us. We're still holy. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we don't do everything right. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place of sin, but it doesn't take away the holiness of God on the inside of us. It doesn't take away our holiness. You're God's good china. You're special to Him even when you're not walking in a way that pleases Him. Jews today are still God's holy nation. Walking in holiness begins by knowing that God has made you holy. You're a saint, a holy one. You're not a mere human. These are all scriptures. Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 3:3. You are indwelt by God's Spirit, Romans 8:9. You are a partaker of God's nature, 2 Peter 1:4. The power of resurrection is in you, Romans 8:11. You have a purpose and destiny, Jeremiah 29:11. You have been given supernatural abilities and are called to live as a supernatural being, 1 Corinthians 12. As God's holy man or woman, you can begin to walk in the realm of holiness. You learn how to show honor. You learn to treat as special what God calls holy, including yourself. As you honor what is holy, you enter into the supernatural favor and blessings reserved for God's holy people. So holiness is about what? Showing honor. When we honor Charlie and Susie, you're honoring the holy thing. When you honor Identity Church and this place of worship, you're honoring the holy thing, right? When we honor each other, you're honoring the holy things. That's good news. When we set this day apart as the Sabbath, even though we do it on the wrong day.
It's still holy.
Still holy. Because we've set this day apart as the day that we're going to have our Sabbath. It means showing honor to your parents. She's not looking. It means to honor your spouse as your covenant partner. It means showing respect to those who God has established as your spiritual leaders. Walking in holiness means showing honor to God's name. Treating the Sabbath as a set-apart day. Treating your body as the holy temple for God's presence. Honoring marriage by speaking highly of it. Treating other Christians as special just because they know Jesus. And honoring the Jews as God's chosen people. Holiness is not about legalism, being different, or being good. Holiness is all about showing honor. Honor has not had a big place in our Christian vocabulary. God wants us to begin to think in terms of showing honor. Learn how to honor God. He is the most holy. One of the first things I spoke here was about profaning the holy things when we come in and do worship. We've gotten kind of careless in showing reverence to the Almighty. I mean, if He showed up, I mean, we'd all fall down like dead people and hope we could crawl under the concrete foundation that's in this building. I mean, if He showed up, that's how we'd want to get as far away from Him as we possibly could. Why? He's holy. I mean, I love to talk about the grace and the mercy and the long-suffering and the love of the Father, but He's also terrible. It's a frightful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. I want that. I want the fear of the Lord because it's the beginning of wisdom. And I want to begin to honor Him in a proper way. What we've been teaching our kids, they had to come to Jesus meeting a little over a month ago because sometimes they get a little, you know, like act like kids. I was telling Charlie the other day, I said, I can punish when they're being disrespectful or they're doing something wrong, but it's really hard to punish kids for being kids. But we had to come to Jesus meeting about what it looks like to come into church. You know, what does that look like? And listen, older people, some of you have gotten comfortable with the way we come into church and we approach His throne. Yes, I know the Bible says we can approach His throne of grace in our time of need boldly. But there's also an honoring of the Lord as we come into worship in this house week after week after week. Otherwise, we profane the holy thing. If we don't give Him His due, reverence and worship and praise, if we're just going through the motions, our minimum commitment, then that's what He gets. And He doesn't show up. But you felt the change. There's been changes going on since the beginning of this year. So we need to learn how to honor God because He's the most holy. Study what it means to give your first fruit. This is above the tithe. This is the first of the month. God wants us to give the first of our time at the first of every month. The Jews had a special new month, new moon celebration. The people would gather at the head of the month for a time of praise, prayer, and feasting before God. Wow, we're doing all those today. It was a way that they honored God by choosing to dedicate the first of the month to Him. When we choose to give God what is first in our lives, we honor Him as holy. It's also important to honor the people and things that God has designated as holy. Ask God to show you how to honor what is holy in your life. I'm asking. I think it's It's going to be surprising to the body of Christ about some things that are about to happen in the earth. I know you probably saw, like I did, the news report of the memo that was released and how damaging that is now to the Democrats and President Obama and Hillary Clinton. It's a damaging report. I almost said a bad word. Thank God. Still holy, thank you. But what we're seeing happen in the natural, get ready. It's coming to the house of the Lord. All this exposure that you're seeing in the natural is coming to God's house. And you can think that we can hide from the eyes of the living Father in heaven. I mean, He sees right through us. There's nothing hidden from Him. There's nothing compartmentalized inside of us that He doesn't see. Does that mean He's coming to kill us? No. But if there's unrepented sin in our life that we haven't gone to Him but before Him, and God has brought people into your life and said, hey, you need to work on this, and you've still not worked on it, I would be in an uh-oh situation. Because what God's... A lot of leaders, I'm telling you, very soon you're going to begin to see a lot of leaders in the body of Christ come down. Because God is changing the way we do church. We met as a group of prophets with Charlie at the end of the year last year, and we asked God for the blueprints of going forward. And we believe that we're moving into those things, and we're going to meet again. Was it next week? Yeah, next week. To discuss where we are right now and what else God is saying. I'm telling you, things are about to shift. Just like I said in Alaska, things are about to get shaken up. You're not just going to see earthquakes where there's normally earthquakes. There's going to be earthquakes, and I'm not talking little bitty tiny earthquakes. God is about to shake the earth because the earth is groaning for the fully mature sons of God to come forth in this hour. And God's not going to settle for anything less. You're holy. You're holy. So begin to honor yourself as a holy one. Begin to honor those around you as holy ones. Things are shifting. And the acceleration, I can't even keep up at this point. And He said it's going to continue to accelerate. Don't get left behind. Not the series, you know. Okay, that Tim LaHaye and those folks came up with. Don't get left behind in this season because you have something on the inside of you that you don't want to deal with or haven't dealt with. God is a safe place. He knows your garbage already. We talked to the kids last night about intimacy. Jerome sat in with us, and he told me this morning I gave more meat to the kids than I do the adults. So, He's going to shake things up. You're going to see it in the natural. You're going to know that these things are happening in various places, and you're going to know God is up to something. Because He says always, first the natural, then the spiritual. Kodiak, the pastor up there, he said, this is a real wake-up call for Kodiak. It's a real wake-up call for them. What I found in Alaska is what I found in a lot of places in America is a lot of apathy and indifference, lethargicness, desperation, depression, right? Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what I was seeing in Alaska. And everybody's desperately looking for a place where the presence of God is. That's what they're looking for. And there aren't. I mean, the place I've been going for 20 years of sowing into this place, and because of pride, it's a good chance the doors are going to shutter unless God intervenes. We don't need another church shuttering. Muslims are outgrowing churches in America at this point. Mosques are being built faster than churches in America for the very first time. That's frightening. So what are you going to do? We got it's like I told the kids again last night. It starts with you. We're working on worship. Things are changing in worship. The next thing that the Lord told us was intimacy and urgency. We have to choose to live out a lifestyle of intimacy. I told the kids this last night. I'm going to end with this. I said, you know, we bring this book, some of us, we bring the book to church, right? And, you know, the pastor, you know, now they put it on the screen. We don't even have to open it, right? And then we take it home and then we put it down wherever it is until the following week. And I asked the kids last night, I said, have you ever gone 7 days without food? What about 14, 21, 30, 40, 60? How about 6 months, a year? What do you look like with no food in a year? Yeah, you look like the prisoner of war camp victims in Nazi Germany. That's what a lot of spirits look like in this room. Because there's been no food. You eat once a week somebody else's meal, somebody else's revelation, and you expect to survive. You expect to fight devils. You expect to have strength to fight off the enemy. Come on, look, if you're looking at yourself in the mirror in the spirit and you haven't eaten, how do you expect to win? You know, Paul says that, you know, if you're going to run a race, don't look like this. Look, if they said I had to go run a 5K right now, I'd die. Because I have not trained for it. I have not prepared. I have not disciplined myself to go out and run a 5K. It would be stupid for me to go run a 5K. Somebody would have to give me a golf cart and I could get that 5K done. But that's what I'm talking about here. Intimacy has nothing to do with whether you come to church or not. Intimacy has all to do with your personal relationship with Jesus, and I can't give that to you. Charlie can't give it to you. Anybody else that stands up here can't give you that passion to desire intimacy with the Lord. So, Father, I just ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would continue to touch our hearts. Father, that you would continue to open up revelation in your word, that you would continue, God, to stir up the new things that you're doing in this hour. Father, that we would shift and turn with you as a body and as individuals. Father, that we would get out of the old mindsets, Lord. That we would let go of the old wineskins, God, and that we would allow you to put the new wineskin in our lives so that, Father, that the new wine that's about to come in the earth, Father, will find a place in us. God, I'm asking that at Identity Church that we would be a house of your presence, that we would honor you in such a way that the holiness and the awesomeness and the glory of who you are would reside and rest in this place, that it would be a habitation of glory. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for the people that you've put us with, Lord, and we honor them today. We honor Charlie. We honor Susie. We honor the leadership of this house. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Father, to walk out and become the man that I'm supposed to be. God, I thank you for everyone in here becoming who they're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.